Things Done.
This
the art. The name of the book is Getting Things Done: The Art of Stress-Free Productivity. And it's written by David Allen. He's a national bestseller, and he's also a personal productivity guru guy. Anyway, it's a book that's been out for quite a while. It's not a new book, but it has a tremendous application. And, of course, he's done some updating and upgrading on things that came out in 2001. I don't know how many of you have read it or how many of you have been exposed to it. This was my first exposure to it, and it was actually recommended by the pastor of our church. Lydia passed it on to me, and I started reading it and just fell in love with the concepts and principles in it. And I just really think that it's a classic approach for so many people I come across. You know, I do a lot of coaching, and I see a lot of people in Manatech and all across the board. The people get into overwhelm. They get into, and they lose productivity, they lose efficiency, and in some instances they end up never getting anything done because they keep on this hamster wheel of just being frustrated and stressed out over the master list they have to do. And I also have the group of people that really have a hard time working off of a to-do list, and this book really helped open my eyes to my problems with my to-do list, as well as why other people have massive problems to to-do lists. So I have a new heightened sensitivity to it, and my to-do list will never be a to-do list again. So you can say, wow, hearing Mary Jo throw out her to-do list, that's a pretty major move. But you'll see why as we go through this book. And again, it's Getting Things Done, The Art of Stress-Free Productivity by David Allen. So let's jump in and talk about what David has to say in this book, and I'll try to get through as much as I can. And the most important part of the book, I think, is really the beginning stages of it, because he goes through his philosophy, his approach, and then he does a application of it, like direct application in your life, step one, step two, step three, step four. And then the final chapter, or major chapter of the book, or section of the book, is broken down into his experiences over the last so many years of his life in terms of the impact that building a system like this has on your everyday life. So first of all, let's talk about the art of getting things done. The first issue is it possible to have an overwhelming number of things to do and still function effectively and efficiently? And that's a great question, because a lot of you wear different hats, and I would ask you to start examining that. What kind of hats do you wear on a daily, weekly basis? And we're all different, and we all do different things, but I just started making a laundry list of the hats I wear, and I put down, well, I'm a mom, I'm a grandma, I'm a wife, I'm a church worker, I'm a coach in my changing environments, I'm a foundation, I run a foundation, I'm a landlord over 6 buildings now, I do trainings. I run a website, Manatrain, and do massive trainings and teachings. I'm opening Mexico with Manatech. Of course, my Manatech business per se, and all the many facets that doing network marketing has in it. I'm doing a bunch of pro bono lawyering today, and that's intriguing, and that's opening up new things. I sit on the mission board for P70, the group that I went down to Mexico. I've joined that board of directors, so I put that down. And, this laundry list just keeps going on and on and on. And I almost want to stop, because I go into overwhelm just looking at all the things that I'm trying to do at this stage, and family, managing my family, because my mom and dad are dead, and I kind of taken over the lead role, and my brother and sister, and keeping on top of everything going on with as a aunt and every other role I play in that regard. But it's just looking at all that, we know that if we don't get into a position of organizing our lives in some way, shape, or form, we're going to just making a laundry list of all the hats we wear, it will cause us to go into overwhelm. I mean, it can cause us to just lose sight of things and just kind of almost like throw your hands in the air and say, you know what, Lord, you told us you'd never give us too much we couldn't handle, but this is overwhelming, right? So the idea is that how do we do it? And David Allen's come up with an incredible system to help support us be as effective and efficient as possible. And that's critically important to me, as it should be critically important to you. If you want to achieve the results in your life that you desire, if you want to get to the dreams of your life, if you want to feel like you're fulfilling what God's laid in your heart as your purpose for being here in the most effective and efficient way, you've got to become efficient and effective at managing your time. Because remember, time is our only limited asset. And really, that's the heart of this. Although I didn't see him mention that throughout the book, He talks about efficiency and effectively, but really what he's doing is he's saying you're managing your personal time, your personal management. How effective are you in managing your time to create the highest and best results with the time that you have? And that should be a goal for all of us. I think it's a goal that's set out in Scripture. I think it's a goal that we have because we want to create things and get as much done as we can. So we need to look at what that means for each of us. And one of the things we need to acknowledge right up front is for most of us, it's going to require major habit shifts. And even for me, as I look at what I'm doing, and a lot of the things that came out in this book, I could see glimpses of in my life already, but clearly not in a structured format that's creating results that I'd like to create or allowing me to be the best I can be and the maximum output. So I'm looking at making some major habit shifts even in my own life. So that's important. No matter how efficient we are, we can always fine-tune. And putting the emphasis on fine-tuning, some of you say, well, I don't have time to fine-tune or become more efficient. I kind of giggle because I go, that's the whole idea. Efficient you get, the more productive you get and effective you get, the more time you're going to have. So you spend the time now, and it will create massive more time for you down the road. So the idea is that's what you want to do. The methods suggested in the book are based on two objectives, and you want to capture this right out of the box because this is what's crucial for you to understand. Number one objective is that you want to capture all the things that need to get done into a logical and trusted system outside of your mind. Get that really clear. Capture all the things that need to get done into a logical and trusted system outside of your mind. Now, why is that important? Why? Because, you know, what you have in your mind, if you allow things to stay in your mind instead of capturing them outside your mind, you're going to create instant stress, frustration, all the other negative emotion and status that you get yourself into in the overwhelm state because it's all in your mind. The only way to get out of overwhelm is get it out of your mind. Your mind is not capable of managing it and handling it and organizing it anyway. It's just you just put it in there and it goes around in circles and keeps coming back. So you've got to get that out of your mind. You've got to come up with a dumping system. And I've been good at that over the years. I can look back and say, you know, that's why I have a to-do list. I use Lydia. We have tracker systems. We have calendar systems that we use. We've been using Franklin Covey on having a to-do list together with a calendar system, which is similar to what he's going to outline here, but yet very different. And I love what David says in his book versus what I've been doing. So that's why I'm teaching it to all of you because I think it's so critical. And by getting things out of your mind, this is another important thing. By being able to dump things out of your mind, you know, I look back at my life and I say, how has it impacted me? Well, number one, a lot of people can't lay their head on their pillow at night and fall asleep in 10 seconds. And the number one reason why that's not happening for most people is because their mind is going and buzzing 24/7. So dumping things out of the mind is crucial in order to be able to get that sleep. And I've been able to get tremendous sleep. It's one of my greatest assets, I feel, because it also is the one of the things that I think a lot of my energy springs forth from my ability to have such great sleep. So important to sleep at night. Number two, you can put your all into each job that you work on. Because if you have stuff in your mind, then as you're working on one project, things are going to pop up in your mind and you're going to get distracted and your focus is going to be way off base. And remember the Power of Focus book and all these other things? Well, this process that you're going to learn today from this book that I'm teaching from was going to help you with the power of focus. Because as you dump out of your mind, focus becomes natural because you have released these things out of your mind and allowed you to focus and really be intentional about each and every job that you jump into. And then, of course, people always, you know, will look at me and they'll say, well, Mary Jo, I can't imagine how you get so much done. You're so involved in so many hundreds of different things, but yet I never see you, operate from a stressed-out perspective. And I think that's an intriguing concept. I think it's intriguing because of the ability to dump from my mind. And it is this aspect that no matter how much I have on my plate and 101 tasks that I have to do that I'd like to get accomplished today, by releasing it from my mind and tackling one, it's like that the big story about the elephant. How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Well, you got to put the elephant out of your picture. If you have a picture of an elephant and all you do is focus on eating it, you're going to be in overwhelm. So you got to move the elephant out of your vision, and you've got to take the bite, one bite at a time, and that's going to help reduce your stress. So all of that I say to help you understand the most, you know, the one of the basic objectives that David Allen has is to move this stuff out of your mind and have it in a logical and trusted system. And then the second objective is to discipline yourself to make front-end decisions about all the inputs you let into your life. And this is critical as well. As we see what inputs are and stuff that we tackle and things, the to-do list and things like that, we need to process them as they come in our lives instead of just storing them in our lives. And it's the processing that you do that's going to help you magnanimously in being able to segment the things and properly lock them into categories and keep them, you know, in their proper position so that they don't get you into that overwhelm situation again. So those are the two basic objectives that we talk about in terms of what David's methods are to help us manage our life, manage our working force. Now, why is this so important today more so than ever? Well, he looked at what we have today. Our work has no clear boundaries. And, you know, we can look at history and tab into that by looking at, you know, we went through the history of the Industrial Age, and the Industrial Age was very much assembly line work where everything was segmented and it was pretty well structured. You know, boom, you go to work, this is what you had at work, boom, boom, and you get home at night and then you're done. Well, we're no longer in the Industrial Age. We're in the Information Age. We're passing the Technology Age. We have information flowing us at 10 times the pace that it ever had before. So we don't have that clear drawing. In fact, in network marketing, I tried to relate this again to us as we network marketers, and I think about how we prospect, and I think of, oh my gosh, look at the 10 different ways that we've prospected or 100 different ways we've prospected over the last 10 years. As information changes, as technology changes, we totally change our methods of how we approach things. So we're changing all the time. We're in this world that technology changes all the time, new information comes out all the time. Today we have new information. What's our new information today? What we got Friday night about Vicente Fox. So that can totally change how we go out and prospect to Hispanics today. It's changed it for me, and hopefully for you, because it's such an incredible tool to use. So we get new tools, we get new technology, we get new things, new information. And so that whole concept of stagnation or set assembly line, you know, workforce is gone. It's non-existent. So as he says in his book, he says, neither our standard education nor traditional time management models nor the plethora of organizing tools available, such as personal notebook planners, Microsoft Outlook, Palm, personal digital assistants, has given us a viable means of meeting the new demands placed on us. So he's saying even all these new tools that are coming out really are not viable to meet the demands that we have on ourselves today and the change in technology and information flow that hits us on a daily basis. There's a great need for new methods, new technologies, and work habits in order for us to get on top of our world. And that's why we need to do something different. We can't go back to the same ABCs and to-do lists and all the things that we've done. And that's why sometimes, you know, when I look back at my work and what I've been doing over the years, you know, and I think I've been semi-effective, but there's downsides to it. And I see the shortcomings, but I just never knew how to handle them. I thought I was doing the best I could have by having a calendar and to-do list and doing the Franklin Cup. Now it's like, oh my gosh, this is answering some of the questions about why, even as organized as I thought I was, I still have these things that drop through the cracks. I have frustration around it. And Lydia and I have talked about this numerous times. And now we have an opportunity to really make a huge move in a direction, because, you know, we're an ever-changing, you know, we live in an ever-changing world, and we need to be in the ever-changing habits ourselves, otherwise we're going to stay stuck. Change is a critical part of our lives, and this is we're either green and growing, as I tell people, or ripe and rotting, and this is giving us an opportunity to change and move in a new direction that's going to support us. We look at imagining a moment if you looked at your life and you were totally in control of your personal management daily. The time tended to disappear. In fact, you sat down and you go, lunch already? Because things were moving along so quickly and you're getting so much accomplished. And you're making noticeable progress towards a meaningful outcome. What if that's the way you ran your life every day? And said, that's the goal. That's the goal. That's what this kind of system will help and methods will help you achieve. And he draws an analogy to karate in his book, and he talks about in karate that and top athletes call this like the zone, being in the zone. In karate, it's called the experience of what martial artists will call mind like water. And that's what we're going to, our goal is to experience that. And the mind like water simile is works like this, that you imagine throwing a pebble into a pond. What if you threw a pebble in a pond, how does the water respond? And the answer is that that the force and mass, that water immediately reacts to the force and mass of the input of the pebble hitting. So you start seeing the rippling, but then it returns to what? It returns to calm. It doesn't overact or it doesn't underreact. It doesn't overreact or it doesn't underreact. So that's what water does. It's the mind like water. We don't overreact, we don't underreact. We just respond. Physically, mentally, we respond in the moment and we go back to a level of calm. And that's what they call in karate, it's called the mind like water. Anything that causes us to overreact or underreact will control us. And many times it does. So we need to start working on that and staying into that, you know, mind-like water scenario, to think about that as an effective way of grappling with the things that bombard us on a daily basis. Most people, when in dealing, we want to deal effectively with our internal commitments. And most of the stress people suffer from is inappropriately managed commitments they make or accept. And that's really what happens to us. We make and accept commitments in our lives to do things or not do things or whatever it is, and guess what happens? Things fall through the cracks, we don't get them done, and we stress out over them. Things linger. Procrastination occurs, and guess what? They still hang out there, and we get down on ourselves. We start getting angry, upset, emotion. All the negative emotions start happening. So the basic requirements for managing commitments is, first, if it's in your mind isn't clear. If it's in your mind isn't clear. Follow me with that. In other words, if you're thinking about something all the time, then your mind can't be clear to focus on anything and accomplishing something in a real clear fashion. So, again, it becomes that dumping system. You've got to take it outside, capture it outside of your mind in a system that you trust will affect the result. So you have to have trust in that system. You have to develop a system, have trust in the system. Number two, another requirement for managing commitments is clarify what you commit to. What is your commitment? What are you committed to doing? Decide what you have to do. So once you decide that, your third aspect of this is, once you've decided on all the actions you need to take, you want to make sure you have reminders of them organized in a system that you review regularly so that you get them done, that you can feel satisfied that your system will support you to complete it. So you're relying on a system outside your mind that's going to help you complete something. So you get it? That's a basic three requirements for managing commitments. Now, to test this model, okay, I'm just going to give you an exercise right now. All of you can participate on the call right now. I want you to think of, right now, just write down a project or a situation that's most on your mind right at this moment. So just think for me, what is on your mind right at this moment? What project or what situation is right on your mind right at this moment? It's something that bugs you, distracts you, or interests you, or some other way consumes a large part of your conscious attention. It could be anything. It could be that you have a vacation trip coming up, or you've got something to do with Manitech, or perhaps you just inherited $6 million and you don't know what to do with the cash. How many are you in that position? Yeah, not. Don't you wish? Okay, so but whatever the issue is, you've captured it. Now, this is just an exercise. Okay? Now you've captured it. You've captured it. Everybody got it? Now describe it in a single written sentence. Your intended successful outcome for this problem or situation. So write down a single written sentence, your intended successful outcome for this problem or situation. In other words, what would need to happen for you to check this project off as done? It could be simple, like take the Hawaii vacation, handle situation with customer X, follow up with this you know, associate in my downline who's been needling me for 3 months and I haven't followed up with her. Make that phone call that's been, you know, bothering you. Get in contact with a sister you haven't talked to in 6 years and it's hounding on your heart or whatever it is, right? Whatever it is, what, write in a single sentence, written sentence, your intended successful outcome for the problem or situation. Everybody got that? All right, now let's do third step. Now I'll write down the very next physical action required to move the situation forward. So if you had nothing else to do in your life but get closure on this situation, where would you go right now and what visible action would you take? Write that action down on a piece of paper. All right, now, for those of you who participated with me in this exercise, I'm going to suggest to you that right now you should be feeling more motivated to actually do something about the situation. You should be feeling less stress. It might just be marginal, but something positive happened for you just in this little exercise. What changed for you? Well, the commitment didn't change. It's still there. It's still present. What happened to create that improved condition within your own experience? In other words, what happened to make you feel better about it? The situation's no further along than it was before in the physical world. But what happened for you is you started applying direct thinking towards solution, towards the problem, towards an action step about what needed to happen and what your next step was going to be doing. And that in and of itself will release stress from your life. Just that simple process will release stress from your life. So critical for us to look at that and understand that that's the way we need to start dealing with internal commitments. It's just a method of getting us to deal with internal commitments, and it shows you how important it is for us to start categorizing, processing, and looking at next action steps, right? So I put a quote in it out of his book. It said, thinking in a concentrated manner to define desired outcomes is something few people feel they have to do. But in truth, outcome thinking is one of the most effective means for making wishes reality. Outcome thinking. To me, it's the power of positive thinking as well. It gets into tying into a lot of other books that we've read about personal development, about putting it out there, the magic of believing, these kind of things. But it's about really having the outcome thinking, vision, having the vision for the outcome that's desired of a situation. So first of all, look at what, why are things on your minds? Why are things cluttering your mind? And he tells you exactly why. The reason things clutter your mind is, number one, you haven't clarified the desired outcome for them. So they stay cluttering your mind. You don't want to make a commitment as to what is clear to you that you want as a desired outcome of something. Number two, you haven't determined the next physical action to take. And number three, you've not put reminders of outcome in the necessary action steps in a system that you trust. So that's the reason you have clutter in your brain. And he calls the word stuff. He uses the word stuff throughout his book. And stuff is, as he defines it, anything you have allowed in your psychological or physical world that doesn't belong where it is, but for which you have not determined the desired outcome or the next action step. So you can see it all goes back to that same core principle about getting clarity around stuff, getting clarity around it, taking stuff and being clear. I just started applying this to a couple of things that were going on in my head, and it was amazing. It's amazing because we didn't have the process down, or for me, I didn't have a process down. I didn't realize what was happening. I was just, things were buzzing in my mind, a couple here and there, or on a piece of paper if I put it on my to-do list. But it never got off the to-do list. Well, clearly, it's in my psychological or physical world, and it doesn't belong where it is, but I haven't determined my desired outcome nor the next action step I need to take. So to-do lists are basically filled full of stuff, and that's a reason, one of the many reasons why to-do lists don't work for most people. And remind yourself, too, that people, that stuff isn't inherently bad. It's not wrong. There's no value judgment about stuff. But when we have it, we have an inherent commitment to ourselves to define and clarify its meaning, so it keeps churning until we take that next step, until we take the process of clarifying a desired result or desired outcome looking for what are is my next action step, and then having a system that's going to protect you and allow you to effectively carry all those steps out to completion. So you don't have to worry about it or put it, store it. Think, oh, I have to store that somewhere so I can remember it. Wow. Then you're going to clutter the mind. So the process. So let's talk about managing action as a process. How do we manage action as a process? And the managing action is really the prime challenge. Many projects seem overwhelming. And when we get a project, it seems overwhelming. You know why? Because you can't do a project. You can only do an action. It's, again, like eating the elephant. I can't do a project. So what do I need to do with my project? I need to break it down into action steps. Because I can't manage a project, I can only manage an action step, right? So that's what you want to work on. So what he suggests in the book is you take a bottom-up approach. Don't take your major project that you have on your desk. Take a minor project. Take the most mundane ground floor level commitments first. Getting control over what is on your mind first and putting in practices to stay there is going to help you set the stage for the bigger and more grandiose project that might come your way or that are already on your to-do list that you haven't even begun to tackle. So get the system established by tackling the mundane things first, the little things, and that's what Lydia and I are doing today. We're going after the little things, the mundane things, and we're going to start tackling those things so that we feel confident and comfortable with the system before we start going after our bigger projects that we've put down. You need to control commitments and projects in two ways, horizontal and vertical. He talks about horizontal. Horizontal, all this means is that you might have many projects across the base, so you need to basically control commitments by looking at how broad they are. What commitments do you have? Commitments in each of the areas. So you're looking horizontally at all the different commitments. And then you need to control the commitment in its vertical approach. In other words, what does a single commitment look like? In other words, vertically, what does it mean? What's step 1 through step 10? What's the total commitment package from start to finish? So breadth of commitments and depth of any given commitment are the two ways that you tackle your projects, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. So what's our main focus here that we're talking about in the process of managing action? Our main focus is to get it all out of your head. Your short-term memory works much like RAM on a computer, right? The screen is like your conscious mind, the screen of a computer. Your conscious mind focuses on things, but it's not meant to be what? A storage place. You can only think of one or two things at the same time, so when you overload, you go into major overload or major stress. And this is the whole concept, again, that gets get its stuff out of your head. He said in his book, this is a quote out of his book too, he said, "I don't want to waste time thinking about things more than once." How many of you can right now just look at things that you've been thinking about more than once? Man, especially those things on the to-do list. Every time you review your to-do list, there it is smacking you again. And he says, "I don't want to think the thing. I don't want to be waste time thinking about things more than once. That's an inefficient use of creative energy and a source of frustration and stress." And it's the same for all of us. So that's why we want to download it out of our mind, so that when we do think of it, when we put it in our project, in our action step, that's when we can manage it. So it also will rob us from focus and give us distraction if we keep it in our minds. So again, we want to release from the minds. He gets into getting control of our lives. In getting control of our lives, he says there's 5 stages of mastering workflow. 5 stages. And let's run through these and see how they apply to our stuff that flows in our life. Hang on, let me get a drink. So the first step, or first stage of mastering workflow is collection. And it's important to know what needs to be collected and how to collect it most effectively so we can process it. All incompletes are things we need to collect. What are incompletes? They're things like should-haves, ought-tos, need-tos, those kind of things. He talks about eliminating holes in the bucket. In other words, if you got things, you don't want to have holes in your bucket. You want to make sure that your system incorporates everything. Grab onto everything. So what does that mean for some of you? For some of you, that means that some of the things that you haven't tackled that you don't like to face are things that you better put in your collection. Because if you leave them out there, they're going to create holes in your bucket, and then you're not going to have what? You're not going to have confidence in your system. So you want to make sure you put everything. Eliminate all holes in the bucket. Include all your incompletes. You take them out of your head and trust the system fully. What kind of collection tools are we talking about here? Well, you could have a physical in-basket. And that's one of the things Lydia and I are developing. We're going to put in place a physical in-basket so we can dump things into the in-basket. Of course, we process them, but it's our collection. Remember step one? Stage one is collection. So you got to have collection tools. A physical in-basket. Number two, a paper-based note-taking system. You could have an electronic note-taking system. You could have a voice recording devices. You could have emails or something technology, you know, some kind of program on a computer that helps you collect, an inbox, you can call it. But whatever it is, you're going to have tools. Take them out of your head and collect them in a place and not where you're collecting them today, because I know where you guys are collecting things. You're like me. Lydia has been trying to break me of a habit. Every time I get a phone call, whatever paper I have on my desk, I flip it over and I start taking notes on the back of that paper. How many of you do that? Or you get a little one of those sticky pads, right? And you start jotting on a sticky pad. Oh, ludicrous. We just become so disorganized we can't find it later. It's on the back sheet of somewhere, someplace, sometime. And, oh, it's a nightmare. So it's critical that you have a system where you're going to drop that. Now you have a legal pad on your desk. You got some, you know, somebody gives you a call and you're taking notes and you have some things. You make a commitment to get something done. Boom, you tear it off. You put it in the in-basket. Last night was classic for me. I do the Hispanic Blitz call on Monday nights. I mean on Sunday nights, and out of that call, invariably I have two or three things that I commit. Maybe sometimes five things or 10 things I commit to, but whatever it is, I make notes of them, and then boom, now it goes in my in basket. Goes in my collection basket. So you got to collect. You got to have areas to collect, and you want to make sure. So you make sure you have, you know, take them out of your head, put them in a collection. If I leave things, what happens to things that we leave in our head? They disappear. And when do they appear again? 3 weeks from now. So you've already left people high and dry. You've already disappointed tons of people. And when they come back and hit your head 3 weeks from now or 2 weeks from now, you go, oh, my gosh, I never did that. How many times has that happened to you? The answer to that question is too many. So we can't let people down. It's impairing your relationship with people and the results that you affect in your life. So have a collection box somewhere. You want a physical inbox. I want everybody to have a physical inbox somewhere. But you can have other collection areas as well. But the second thing that he tells us in the book is have as few collection buckets as possible, because you can become a collection box queen, and you don't want that to happen. You want to have one, two, or three places max that you're collecting things, because otherwise it's a nightmare to keep on top of your collection devices, right? Don't create another nightmare for yourself. This is about making it your life efficient. And then number three, empty them regularly. If you don't empty them and process the stuff regularly, the system will fail. So in other words, you got to go in there and empty them regularly. I think what regularly might mean for you would be once a day. So Lydia and I talked about taking whatever in the inbox on a daily basis. Things get thrown into the inbox. And, of course, that you're going to see what things get in there, too, as we go through. But the idea is that you process it once a day. So at the end of the day or the first thing in the morning, you process what's in the inbox, and you're ready to move on. Okay? But you have to have a collection device. So everybody got that. Part of the system, a stage of mastering your workflow. Second stage, part of the stage is process. You process each item by item regularly, by thinking about it. Item by item thinking is what this process is. Each item in each bucket based on what is the next step, keeping in mind the desired result. So I said, see the chart. At the back of the outline today, you're going to see the chart that David Allen has developed. And it's a chart that talks about stuff going into your inbox. See your inbox? All right. And the processing of it is the next step. What is it? You got to ask the question, what is it? When you're processing, what is it? What is it that is it? Okay, so you got to look at what is it. And some of us can't even define what some of our stuff is. So a definition of what it is clearly important, because it gives you clarity. You must ask that question, what is it? Part of the process, okay? The next thing you do is you ask the question, is it actionable or is it not? And that helps you decide which direction you go. Okay, so this is part of the process. You're processing each item by item in this order. What is it, and is it actionable? Two questions you ask. What is it actionable or not? Notice if it's not actionable, then we do one of three things. We either eliminate it, what would be something that would be not actionable? Maybe you got an update on a new patent, okay, that Manitech was issued today. The new patent on PhytoBurst, PhytoMatrix, and you might deem that that's not an actionable item. It's just new information you have. Now you've got to decide, do I eliminate it? Do I throw it away? One-touch rule, right? Am I going to throw it away? Because it's not sitting on my desk. I've got to take action right now on what I'm going to do with it. Do I eliminate it by throwing it away? Do I incubate it someday, some maybe later, possible later actions? Or do I put it in a reference file? Paper and digital lists or files. You could put it on the computer in a list. As under patents, you could file it. Okay? Perfect. That's a way to get rid of it. It's taking, you know, immediate steps to processing this non-actionable item. But it has to go in one of those three buckets. So you get it? That's what you do with your inactionable things. Next, the third step of the process is organize. If it's actionable, that's where the organize comes. If it's actionable, okay, then one of the first things you want to do is determine whether it's a project or not. And he defines project as this. A project is something that has more than one action step. It could be have two action steps, and you know what? It becomes a project. So you got to classify it in a project, and it goes into the project category, a storage file for project plans and materials. It goes into the project file. So that's a separate independent file for you for projects. All right? That doesn't mean you don't establish what's the next action, because you can see that's your next question with it. So you have a list of projects, okay, and you need to have that. You need to have a storage area or files for project plans and materials. So whatever plans you have or project materials you have, you want to have an area for that. You need to have a calendar, because if it's an action step, what's the next idea you do it? If it's a next action, you have to have a calendar, so because that's where some of it's going to go, or some of it's going to go into a list of reminders for next action, or a list of reminders of things that you're waiting for. So you see the five categories that it can fall into: list of projects, a storage or files for project plans, a calendar, a list of reminders, or a list for next actions, or a list of reminders of things you're waiting for. Those are the five categories. So you get it? You're really organized. This is all structured. It fits in one of those five categories. You keep on top of what those five categories are, and all of those are on your diagram that's attached to the outline. So let's take a step. What if it's a next action item? Then you do this. Number one, if it takes less than 2 minutes, then what do? You do it. Done. In other words, you stop and you do it. If it takes less than 2 minutes, you get it done. How many of us have things on our to-do list that take less than 2 minutes, and they've been on our to-do list, and we keep transferring to the next to-do list and the next to-do list and the next? It's insanity, people. I've been there, done that. I see them, and I go, this is ridiculous. This thing will take me less than 2 minutes. I'm doing it right now. And you know why you tell yourself you're not going to do it? Because you don't have time. And you've rationalized that. You've become supreme procrastinator. Maybe is that you didn't want to do it. But remember how critical it is to get things off of that to-do list? Right. So anyway, so what you're doing is you're going to take, if you have something that has, if you determine what the next action is and it takes less than 2 minutes, then you get it done. The second analysis you go through on a next action category is it something I should be doing, or is it something I should delegate to somebody else? Am I the best person to do it? If you answer, the answer to that question is no, then you delegate it. So you either do it if it's less than 2 minutes, you delegate it if it doesn't belong to you. And it could, in a delegated, could be stuck in a waiting for, because you're delegating it, so you're waiting for somebody else to do it. So it goes into your waiting for list or folder, okay? So that's what ends up in there. But you have to, what? You have to put it in communication system so that you have a track on it. When you put it in the waiting for folder, your system captures it so you know that you're waiting for somebody else to take action on it, right? And then third, well, of course, you have to delegate it first. If you don't tell the person you're waiting for them to do it, then you're not, you know, ever going to see any action on it, because they don't know they're responsible. And then third category, what the next action is, defer it. So you do it, delegate it, or defer it. And if it gets deferred, where does it go? It goes in one of two categories. It either goes on your calendar, so you figure out what time and spot you're going to fit it in to get it done. So maybe you're going to get it done Like you have something to do. You have something to deliver to somebody. Well, they live next to the church. When are you next going to the church? Well, Wednesday I'm going to church for Awanas. So you put the on your calendar, you put deliver this to Sarah because she lives next to the church, and you're going to put it at an hour before, 15 minutes before you have to be at Awanas, whatever. So that's how you get it done. You put it on your calendar, and that's where it gets dumped. And that's the now it's in a category, and you can treat it as if it's done because it's exactly where it needs to be to get accomplished. If the next action step is something that you can't do in 2 minutes and it's something that doesn't belong on a set specific time, then you put it on what we call the next action list. And the next action list is going to look similar to what you've had in the past as your to-do list. But it's going to be very segmented. Notice that it's going to be an action that takes one step. And it's going to be isolated to a next action list, and it's not going to have a specific date and time that has to be done. So you're really making that next action list a specific category of actions. It can't be a project because a project is up in a project book. Can it be an action step associated with a project? Absolutely. So let's say I'm doing a project. I'm helping somebody with their tax returns. And one of the things I need is I need 1099s from the last 6 years. And so I've delegated that because I can't get them. I mean, I can get them, but I have somebody that, and I have it in my wait for. So that would be a next action that's in my wait for that's related to this project. I might have something that is a next action is going to be that I am going to redo or do some tax returns, okay? So my next step is do the tax returns for 2003 to 2009, the years they were undone. Well, I put that as my next action step for my project, but I don't have a date in which I can lock it into because I don't have the 1099s yet. So, but it ends up on my next action list. Hopefully you guys are following this. I think it's marvelous. It helps us segment and track things in the status in which they best fit. And you get rid of the to-do lists. And one of the major reasons to get rid of to-do lists is, number one, they're not very effective. I mean, they can work for some people, but the problem is that you constantly are inputting and shifting tactical priorities on your to-do list. It becomes demoralizing, waste of time, when they need to be rewritten every day. And that's why some of you start a to-do list and you stop doing it, right? Would you agree with that? All of you would, right? So that's what happens. The other thing that happens on to-do lists is some things on your to-do list are critically important to do that day. Other things are just projects. You mix projects with next actions. So you got major things that are going to take 10 different actions, and then you got some things that take only one action, and then you have things that take only 2 minutes. You got this aggregation of all different things on that to-do list that just they don't mix. They don't even make sense when you see them on a page together. It's kind of like your brain goes, this isn't make a lot of sense to group these together. And now you're determining why it's not made sense in the past because you're putting three different distinct categories of things on one piece of paper. So, and when you have long-term projects on a to-do list together with short-term immediate ones, it dilutes the importance of getting something done immediately. So it really is ineffective, okay? So organize is next step. The next step after, so you got step three, collect, process, organize. Number four is review. You want to take a look at all your outstanding projects and open items from an overall perspective. From time to time, you want to do that, right? So that you get an idea of what's out there, what your overall production is, what's because, you know, just in case you need to take a different tactic or whatever, but you want to do a review from time to time of that. Your calendar gets reviewed the most often. That should be reviewed daily as you're going through it. The next thing that should get reviewed most often is the next action list, because you want to make sure that every time you have an open slot in your calendar, you're jumping into your next action list to find something that you can accomplish to fill in that open slot in your calendar. So as you go through a day, you have your next action list really handy for you, because the minute you get to, like just like today, I get off this call at 11 o'clock or so, depending on how much we go over, and then I'm going to have my next action list right there ready for what's my next step, so I can be most productive. And then you want to make sure you do a weekly review. This is what we used to talk about like on Sunday nights, and I still do mine on Sunday nights, and I'm going to continue doing it on Sunday nights. This is a time to gather all and process all our stuff. So this is where I take all my stuff together and I go, what stuff do I have outstanding? You know, let's look at my stuff, right? Gather, process my stuff, review my system, update my list, and get clean, clear, current, and complete so that I know that I can start off my Monday perfect. Now, with Lydia, I will probably do that first thing Monday morning. And we already talked about how do we tackle that because Monday morning becomes such a big thing with our getting our phone call out, and I also have coaching calls. So we're trying to figure out what the best timing is for that. But our weekly review, not only do I need to do a weekly review so I'm prepared, but I need to do it in conjunction with Lydia because she works for me. So that, but that's an important process so that you maximize out. You can't be doing weekly reviews daily because then you're going to be spending a ton of time just in organization and it's going to drive you you're crazy. So the weekly review happens once a week. You plan it, plot it, make sure it happens. But the calendar review happens daily. The next action list is you're looking at daily because you're always going to have open slots of time somewhere in a day that you can get something done. And you want to be peeling that off and being as efficient and effective as possible. Do is the fifth step, okay? Fifth step is do. The basic purpose of this workflow management process is to facilitate good choices about what you're doing at any point in time. Where does my do come from? It comes from my calendar, and it comes from my next action list. That's where my do's come from. Everybody get it? I don't have to look anywhere else to find my do's. I'm not going to pull it out of my inbox because I haven't processed that yet. The inbox is a collection vehicle. My to-dos are going to come from calendar and going to come from next action step. That's where my to-dos come from. All right? And he has different models that you can use in the book. I gave you in the outline his four criteria model for choosing actions in the moment. Number one, context. Can you do it now where you are with what you have? So that's a contextual issue you've got to make with each of your, you know, next action list or calendar items. Number B would be time available. With the calendar constraints, in other words, looking at my calendar, if I have a next action that's going to take me an hour, but in a half hour I've got to be on a coaching call, then I have to delay that next action. I can't do that one. I need to pick one that I can fit in the corresponding time slot. Energy available is the third constraint. Are you fresh? Sometimes some people think, well, I'm most creative in the mornings. Well, then you wouldn't want to take on a creative project task, in other words, a next action task for a project that requires creativity at 3:30 in the afternoon when you know you're slumping. So you want to make sure that the energy, proper energy is available for you. And then D, which is priority. Obviously, that's a big one for most of us. What's the priority? And your next action list should prioritize things that are most important. What action will give you the best and highest payoff? That's the action you want to take. And what does that mean for most of us in Manatech? Prospecting, right? What is the action that gives us the highest payoff? Prospecting. So we want to make sure we give high priority to that. And then he goes on and he gives the five phases of project planning. This really gets into project planning. And a lot of us can look at our lives and say, how many projects we have? Well, if any project is anything that takes two actions or more, then we might have more projects than you think. But you want to make sure that you really have great project planning going on. Because a lot of us throw a project out there, and we just go, yoo-hoo, and we get all excited, and we start tackling action steps before we've done the planning around the project. So just like taking back the whole idea of, every time I get an assignment, well, if I do something in my foundation like that IRS problem I'm working on now, the first thing I did is I looked at it and said, oh, my gosh, what is involved here? Do we do a hardship? Do we do an 843? When do I file with the IRS? What data am I going to need? So I got it. What do I have to do? I have to define what is success in this project. Success is to get the levy released and get the payments out to the guy and get him set up on a system where it never happens to this person again. So I can define total success as an end result. So critical, because when you define, how many times have you tackled a project where you didn't have a definition of what success would mean for the project? A lot of people do. I've done it. And that's what gets me caught on bunny trails sometimes, because I don't have a clear picture of what the success is with the project. So you have to create decision-making criteria, align your resources, motivate, clarify focus, and expand options. All these are steps about purpose and principles, about how we want to, why we define purpose and principles, because those are the benefits that we get from defining purpose and principles. It gives us all of those attributes when we define purpose and principles. So you've got to have that. Outcome visioning is viewing the outcome because it's the power of focus. When you view the outcome, what happens in your life? It's kind of like the magic of believing. You create, as a man thinketh, so he is. So you have outcome visioning for a project. Brainstorming. What does brainstorming mean? It means you tackle and get other people. Like, go back to my IRS project. I called a lawyer. I called tax advocates. I did some research. I mean, it was brainstorming. What's the best way to tackle this so that we get as much input as we can? And the problem with a lot of people who do brainstorming is they get into judgment and they get into all this other stuff. Don't judge, challenge, evaluate, or criticize. Go for quantity, not quality. In brainstorming, you want quantity. Just put all the things down, because something that sounds crazy today, because you're uninformed at the moment you're brainstorming, as you start getting more information, that idea may become brilliant. But we so many times go into judgment, classification, criticize, all this stuff in advance of really collecting the data, because we base it on what we know today instead of what knowledge we're going to gain. Organizing the basics, you want to organize it, identify, and then identify your next action with your project. So it's critical that all of this takes place. I love that whole process of project planning because it really helps me in terms of projects. Most of the things I work on a daily basis are pretty projects, like opening Mexico, like putting together some materials, more marketing materials, like building a new program. All these things are projects for me that I need to tackle in a way that's most effective. And then chapter two, I'm gonna just give you a couple updates and then let you go today. Chapter two is practicing the stress-free productivity. He goes through, this is what's really cool in the book. So what I've given you in this call today is basically the philosophy, the whys, the steps, the strategies of what's going on, and that great chart that he has that helps you outline for yourself how this all works. The second major chapter of his book really goes through practicing it. He gives you the step-by-step elements for practicing this so that you can implement it in your life step-by-step. So he gives you ideas of how to do each and every one of these things, step-by-step. Even though you have them already outlined in the first chapter, you get the step-by-step, blow-by-blow, what it likes, what to do. He gives you things like, what does he give? Some checklists, things like that on tackling it, and you can look at the outline to see what that says. And then the third chapter is his final chapter of the book that really gets into the power of the key principles. It's amazing how your life changed when you get so organized. Everything around you gets done. Your relationship with others becomes awesome because anyone and everyone can rely on you to get everything done in a timely way. You become responsible. You become a responsible citizen. You become honored. You become somebody that people want to be around. You become people that really can't wait to be in your presence because they know that they know that they know when you take on something, it's going to get done. They can rely on you 100% and that you're a doer. So those are really cool things. That's great. If you want to have that honor in your life and you want to have that response, that kind of skill, the important thing for those of you on this call today is that's called leadership. It's called leadership skills, and that's what we want to do. We want to be the best leader we can for the people in our organization, our downline, so we want to have that reputation, okay? Anyway, so I put at the bottom of the outline, do you have clutter in your life? I said, this is your answer. I'm telling you, this is the answer. I've talked to so many of you about clutter in your life. I said, this is your answer. Follow this system, the process. I love it. I love getting rid of my to-do list because I love the idea that I have now a project folder. I have a next action list. I have my calendar. I really understand how all things that enter my life fit within this system. And that's a beautiful thing for us to do, to be able to, quantify and process everything that comes into our life. So we've got it segmented. We know when it's going to get done or where it is or that it's in our system, and effectively it's going to happen. So, okay, guys, that's it. I hope you enjoyed. Any feedback from you guys today? Is this a process? Oh, by the way, this guy has a website. You can go look at it. He's got OmniFocus. It's David Allen. Look him up on the internet and review his. He's got materials, all sorts of things that you can look into if you want to join up with that. He's got software program that you can implement in your life. Whatever you see necessary. If this is something that really floats your boat, as it does mine. Okay. Anyone have comments, questions?
Mary Jo, this is Mary. When I saw the title, Getting Things Done, I thought, wow, that sounds like a book I have on my shelf. And sure enough, there it is on my shelf. Unfortunately, I've only got marks through about one-fourth of it. So guess what I need to be doing this week is reading the book and applying it. But I also wanted to say that I appreciated that you made us pick an activity and work through it. When I did that, as soon as I did that, I involuntarily took a deep breath and just relaxed. And
wow.
So I thought that that was just very positive because it has to do with the Hispanic Blitz. It's like making the phone calls, and uh-huh. it was great. So thank you for picking this
Absolutely.
Book for the whole thing. Thank you, thank you.
Yeah. Great, Marianne, great. Thank you for the testimonial about that one little exercise, because the
yes.
reality is what you experienced is what this whole system is going to do for you on everything in your life. And
I'm taking deep breaths, yes.
Amen, amen, yeah. All right, anyone else? Any other comments?
Yeah, Mary Jo, what is the name of that website for him?
The website for him? Hang on a second. I think David, Lydia, what's the name of the website? I didn't even, Lydia was in it all this morning doing it. David, what? She says, just do a search for David Allen. She didn't remember what it is. Just look up David Allen. His system is called OmniFocus. So either OmniFocus or David Allen, and you'll find it. And he, like I said, he's got a lot of materials and information on there. That's where we actually went to get this outline. The diagram was in the book, but Lydia had a hard time copying it, but she found this beautiful diagram on the website. So that's great. Yeah. Super duper. And I'm posting this diagram that I attached. It's on my my little board sitting right next to my desk now. I mean, it is something that is going to be part of my life. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Two other quick questions. Hispanic stuff from last night, when will that be posted on the Hispanic website?
Lydia's working on it as we speak, so it'll be there today.
Okay.
And the answer to the questions will be out to you today. And what else did I commit to? Oh, I committed to the Hispanic group to get you my flyer with Vicente Fox. That's going to be in your hands today as well.
Great. That's really going to be very important to use that tool.
All today.
Last thing, Manatech does have a Spanish video called Optimal Health in a video format for the Internet. How much of a challenge would that be for Manatech to take that video, Optimal Health, that's in Spanish and put it in a DVD? Is that a major project?
No. In fact, probably Lydia could do it. Let me look at that for you, okay?
Because that we could use at our beginning meetings in Mexico next month.
Sure.
At least we have a tool to use. You see what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. Where is it located? Is it on the Mexico website or is it on the map?
It's on that Mana Marketing Tools by Andy. He's got all the Manatech videos in one place. And I noticed that the Optimal Health, gives the Optimal Health video I like because it gives the rundown of Manatech products.
Uh-huh.
In a concise format, about a 10-minute video.
Well, if he has, it's got to be somewhere available for Manatech, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've got it in a video in Spanish. Manatech.
Yeah, okay. All right, let me find it. I'll put that on my, that's on my next action list.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right.
All right, Joe, real quick, I didn't get the beginning of the call. Did that presentation you gave at Manatech Tuesday Night Live was so awesome. I heard something about it being recorded. Where is that at?
I think it's on the Manatech Live website.
Manatech, oh,
you sign up? Yes,
it on.
I think archived on that website, Manatech
okay.
Live website. Absolutely. Yep.
All right,
thank you.
You.
Yeah, I just gave it again this weekend in McAllen, and it was a blast. And I think tomorrow night they have me scheduled to do the bilingual one with Johanna, so that'll be fun as well.
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I went on to find this OmniFocus, and it was for Mac computers. There is, though, his same one, I'm assuming, because it's by David Allen. It's getitdoneapp.com, and it's his same program, which is the OmniFocus one.
Great, perfect.
To sign up for free for a 15-day free trial.
There you go. How do you love that? Nothing
okay.
better than free. Amen, right?
Yes.
But, you know, yeah. But I want you to promise something. If you sign up for the free 15-day trial, you don't procrastinate. You do it. You got to do it. So dedicate your time and energy to make sure you do it, okay?
Yep.
You'll
That's
love it, I'll tell you. It turned me on. It was, I mean, and I'm not a big, you know, I love to get organized, but I'm not, you know, I'm not that promoter. Typical heavy promoter quadrants don't love all this kind of stuff, but I sure do.
Yep. Yeah. Me either.
Yeah, got it. I got it.
Spotted me.
That's why we need something like this to save us, right? Yep.
That's right.
Exactly. All right, everybody. Great. Great call. Thanks for everything. We'll keep you updated on all the things you brought up today. And, of course, the Hispanic Blitz, we want to keep going in that direction and make sure we're really helping in that marketplace. Even those of you who haven't done much so far, now's the time to get started with this new announcement of Vicente Fox and his wife. I think it's a great opportunity for everyone. All right, love you all. Have a great week, and let's make things happen. Yoo-hoo!
Thanks, Rachel.
Yep.